This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Sarah Hugh and Doc 2 on FUBAR Radio.
Right, it's that time of the week again. Sarah Hugh and Doc 2 on FUBAR Radio. All three of us here.
Wow.
Again, which is nice. We do enjoy that a lot.
Happens.
How you doing, guys? You all right?
Well, not so
pretty
much.
Good. Pretty
we
good.
Don't get to enjoy it enough.
I know. It's good. It is good to have the whole team here. As per usual, we're going to have all the goodness coming up for you. Are you taking a piss, giving you a chance to vent? And also some very, very, very good guests coming in today. Beardy Man, legend, beatboxer, multi-instrumentalist, just general tech-savvy wild man is going to be coming in. And I believe, Doc, he's going to be helping you out for rap about anything. He's going to be doing the beat for you live in the studio.
That's dope.
Which is cool.
So that is dope.
It's going to be very, very good.
That'll be almost as good as the Thomas Tank Engine theme tune. Mm-hmm.
That'll
be hard to top.
Don't want
to
push it,
I mean,
mate.
It's not going to top it, but
he can try.
He can try. You can definitely try that. You can get your topics for Doc coming in right now using the hashtag rap about anything. Give us a topic and Doc's going to pick his favorite and then rap about it at the end of the show. Tweet us at FUBAR Radio, or you can email SHD for Sarah Hugh Doc at FUBARradio.com.
Or tweet me.
Or tweet Doc
at Doc Brown 88.
Absolutely. And of course, you can just get in touch anytime if you want to get a shout out or just let us know what you're up to as well.
What was the 88 from?
Back to the Future.
Oh, yeah.
Have you not, noticed?
Yeah.
I'm a fan.
I see.
You need 88
course.
Miles
like,
per hour.
Is it your favourite year in hip hop?
I thought he was. I just always thought he was.
Hugh just assumed I was trying to behave like I was 27.
Yeah, just lying about his age.
I know you're 27, all right?
Yeah.
Don't try it.
Hey, what do you reckon about this? Just quickly, on a bit of a side note. Faced with a little bit of a moral dilemma just on my way here. I was waiting for the bus to go to Bethnal Green Tube. And as I was waiting there, a guy rode past on a bike. And about 10, 15 metres past me, he stopped. And then I was kind of looking what he was doing because I could see things flying out front because he had his back facing towards me. I could see things flying out left and right. And I couldn't figure out what was going on. And then he took off. And then I realised he'd had someone's wallet and was going through it and then just chucked it all in the gutter.
Wow.
And I was like, shit, that's terrible. So I was like, I've got to go and get this wallet and like at least, you know, try to get it to the police station or something. Because, you know, when you lose your wallet, shit like that, it's the worst thing ever. But just as I was about to do it, the bus turned up. Yeah. And I was like, shit,
you're
what
like,
do I do?
Screw them, they'll be all right. They can get another wallet.
I felt bad. What would you have done? I jumped on the bus, but I kind of felt, I felt bad. I felt really bad.
But couldn't you have grabbed the wallet and get the bus?
Well, it was too far away. Like, well, I don't know. And then I would have had to collect it all. And there was, like, this guy was throwing shit everywhere.
Oh, shit.
But I still feel quite bad. There's a part of me that thought I should have just missed the bus, got the wallet, and caught the next one.
But that's a little bit like that train incident in France with the American dudes who saved the day, where it's like you have no idea how you react in those situations until you're there with your feet on the ground.
So are you saying I'm a hero or I failed miserably?
I'm saying there's still time for your heroic moment to come to pass.
Yeah, thank you, Sarah. I really appreciate that. But I mean, that
so
was...
don't feel bad. You did your best. Your heart was in the right place.
I appreciate that.
Your intentions were in the right place. And you sent out that good energy. And someone else, I bet they turned around the corner just as you drove off on the bus comfortably in the warmth, sheltering from the rain in the bus. They turned around the corner and picked up the wallet and did the right thing.
Or they did the same thing. Went through it, flicked everything out. Went, no cash,
yeah,
no credit cards, I'm out.
Like,
welcome to London. I guess that was an example of somebody's doing a bit of a shitty thing. But we do like to kick off the show with people doing amazing things. Sarah, we're going to get it to do.
Big up.
So,
oh, yes.
Who this week, Sarah, deserves shouts for doing something cool?
Well, there's so many cool things that happened this week, which, yeah, I'm going to get into some of those a bit later in the show too. But I think really this week we got a shout out. How is it that there's like so many cool people in the world with the initials JC? And there's a great drummer, one of my favourite jazz
Chronicle.
Drummers.
Jesus Christ. He's a good dude.
Oh, you know what? I bumped into an old friend of mine. No, actually, technically, yes, I did bump into Jesus because I was visiting a very good old friend of mine whose family lives down in East Sussex. And his sister is married to a DJ who's called Charlie Chiba. I never knew that Charlie's old name in the 90s was Jesus Presley as a DJ.
Right.
Did he make that name up, or that's not actually his real name?
That was his DJ name for the duration of the 90s and the early 2000s. Mm. Mm-hmm. That's a bold name.
That he is.
Jesus Presley.
Was it spelled
even Elvis Christ.
So. Was it spelled Jesus?
No, just straight up Jesus Presley.
Jesus Presley.
Yeah, like, I'm the don of everything.
It's spelled the same, isn't it?
Spelled the same, yeah.
But I just thought it could be a little flaw.
Jesus Presley.
People go, are you saying Jesus? Like, what the fuck? And you're, no. It's Jesus.
No, I'm saying Jesus.
Jesus, I definitely say Jesus.
I wish that his parents had actually called him
Jesus Presley.
Yeah. That would have been cool.
That would have been a beautiful thing.
Anytime you meet someone called Jesus, I'm like, that's so dope.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Just for the boldness of that.
I think it's quite a nice sort of...
Or Elvis, when you meet
quite a nice kind of paradigm that when you go to South America, you will meet as many Jesuses, you'll meet as many Jesuses as you will Ponches.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, you meet a Ponche and you see how it's spelled, and it's just spelled Ponce.
Yeah.
You got Ponce and Jesus just side by side. Could
dangerous.
Be brothers. Do you know what I mean? Jesus and Ponce.
When I was born, my older sister and brother desperately wanted to call me Jesus. Apparently, that was the only baby's name that they knew. They wanted to call me Jesus.
Blessed.
Blessed.
Little baby Jesus.
It's another one of our favourite rappers. But yes, JC. And then, in fact, there's one of my favourite jazz drummers called Jeff Tane Watts. He has a song called JC is the Man. But in jazz, we know JC is John Coltrane. And so it's like we've got John Coltrane number one, then
above Jesus Christ.
Then you got Jesus Christ. Jesus will be cool with that. He's a humble dude.
No, it's true. He is a humble dude.
Always he gets other a lot people of shit, first. Like. You know, you throw the first stone. And so you got Jesus Christ, John Coltrane, who's like one of the most important people of the 20th century. Then you got the main man who's getting the big up this week. Big up.
Whoa. Jez, we can.
Jezza, Corbsy, mate.
We can. My MP. Mm. My MP has been at my door, like, trying to get votes and shit in the past 10 years.
Oh, my God.
And he was always such a cool guy, you know. He was always the reason I voted for him in the midst of, like, so many just poor Labour politicians. Do you know what I mean? Like,
Labour politicians.
Yeah, man, because it was so clear-cut, wasn't it? In the 70s and 80s, and, like, when we were really little, like, Labour was... It was very clear what it was about. And then in the past, sort of, since Blair, it's just been like, what's Labour really about?
Do you know what I mean? They're about conservative.
So it was easy for me to vote Labour over the past decade or 15 years because... of Corbyn. Do you know what I'm saying?
I
never would have believed he'd ever get close to being the leader of the Labour Party, though. Like, because
he can't
believe it. He was like one of my boys. Do you know what I mean?
I wonder if
he was just down with everything. Everything left. Okay. And I just thought, like, you're such a cool guy, and I hope that you always be my MP, but I just don't think you'll ever be any bigger than that.
Because
you're too controversial, so I'll give you my vote. You might as well be a fucking rapper or something. You know
I reckon you just don't like confrontation, so if anybody turns up at your door, like if I ask you in a text, hey, Doc, can I borrow the Audi? And you go, no. If I turn up at your front door and there's a confrontation, take the keys.
Hey, take the keys.
I want confrontation.
But no, it's amazing. It's incredible.
The amazing thing with JC is that, he's just a normal person where it's like, what he says makes sense, and he just seems to take a very pragmatic view on things rather than saying some well-crafted, slimy statement that pleases everybody and doesn't really say anything.
Yeah.
And I think that's what people are finding like endearing, and what makes people feel like, I actually can trust, I feel like I can trust you.
Yeah.
If he isn't the person that who he's represented, painted himself to be,
he is.
Man needs an Oscar.
You
know what I mean? He needs like all of the award, the number one thespian award, all that business, because his performance is incredible. And on top of that, like,
I saw a man wearing slats and just shorts on road. Do you know what I'm saying? He's real.
Listen, after being at some of these massive speaking at rallies in front of like a couple hundred thousand people, he's getting the bus home, man.
That's what I'm saying.
And, like, props,
he doesn't own a car.
I love him. And he has the lowest expenses of any MP in the Houses of Parliament. He's a strict vegetarian. My dad went to university with his brother, and his brother is like super, he was top of the class throughout the entire time they were at Imperial College together. He's like super brainy dude. So if he's anything as smart as his brother,
he is smart.
Props to him too. And I think over these last few weeks, I've just been slowly like falling in love with Jeremy Corbyn, yeah. but then I was quite no glad to find
Sarah
out a
liked
couple
a wispy grey beard.
Oh, I love a wispy grey beard. I love a wispy grey leftist beard.
Mm. Well, it might be a bit of grey because even last week, when I showed my greys, and you were like, "Oh yeah, no, don't feel bad about that. Greys are cool.
It's distinguished.
Yeah, distinguished. Yeah. Exactly.
My beard's crazy grey if I grow it out.
Really?
Yeah.
See,
who'd have thought that at 27?
Yeah.
See, I always wanted my hair to go grey, but it doesn't run in my family, unfortunately. No, but like black people with grey hair, like
yeah,
silver
awesome.
Hair, like
awesome.
Mad fly. Mm. But yeah, and so I was quite gutted to find out that he is actually married.
Another
thing that made me rate JC.
Maybe he's so
Corbsy,
left field, though. That
he's open minded. So, no, because I actually did. A friend of ours is friends of him, and they were telling us that he and his wife had a disagreement because the wife wanted to send the kids to private school.
Oh, yeah, I heard about this.
But then
they got divorced over this shit.
He had a moral position where he disagreed with private schooling and he thinks that it's about supporting the state school system. And so they divorced.
That's
and I was
nuts.
Like, that
wow.
makes me rate him even
that
more. So
crazy.
I got excited thinking, he's on the market!
Oh, shh.
But now you got remarried.
Yeah, Jeremy Corbyn.
So. Big up. To a bitch that was like, I don't give a fuck where the kids go.
All right, I'm going to jump into some news now. We've got Sarah just bumped into a legendary UK producer who apparently is going to join us in the studio very, very shortly. I'm not going to tell you who it is. It's going to be a surprise. Keep it as a surprise. But has worked with this man, one of my favourite rappers. You're on FUBAR. Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. Up next. No, they didn't. Who's been doing shit to make you say what? We'll find out next. Big Ghost. Be easy on FUBAR.
To be easy.
Sarah Hugh and Doc 2.
You know how high pitch you have to rap along with Ghostface?
Apparently
it's
quite high. Yeah, apparently
it's
quite high.
There's a technique to reach those notes. Mm. You just do that.
Hey, just before Ghost, we were just talking about famous JCs, and we had a couple of tweets come through
and
as
emails.
Well. And emails as
Phil
well.
Phil and Epsom said, Hey guys, those JCs are okay, but you forgot the two best, Jeremy Clarkson and Jiminy Cricket.
Jiminy Cricket.
Are the dons.
Yeah. I love how senior producer now comes in and goes, Hugh, do you even know who Jiminy Cricket is? I'm like, yeah of course. And
then she doesn't
frog.
Know.
Doc goes, yeah, the frog.
I said the frog, yeah, that's true. That was just like, that was a lapse in memory, but I know who he is. And then she didn't know where he was from.
We're all a bit confused.
About that life.
Do you know what? Sometimes you do just misunderstand things.
Yeah,
you just
that
hear
is
it
true.
Wrong
that is
and
true.
You, just
you hear it wrong
it.
And you don't really know what's going on.
Something that you can't misunderstand is Doc Brown's lap dances for Sarah Love.
Mm.
Well, oh my God, like no big deal.
Yes. I was feeling a bit deprived last week, so can you ramp it up a bit more
this week
to make up for
the
missing
dance.
The lap
dance
last
week?
Well,
we need the sexy dance.
The beautiful you had to do it to Hugh last week.
He's so funky.
It was awkward.
this week, the lovely, lovely, gorgeous singer Demi Lovato was interviewed in Sweden, I think. Was it Sweden? No, it was Berlin, wasn't it? It was Germany.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. And she was being... To be fair to her, I think we have to give her the benefit of the doubt here. She was being asked some really fucking stupid questions.
Yes.
Like, really stupid.
Like, what else?
And the interviewer said, hey, like... and also, what's your favourite dish?
Mm.
And poor Demi, like I say, I felt for her. She thought they were talking about crockery.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how the fuck she thought this, but maybe it's just the lights, the pressure. Who knows? Or maybe just the tedium from doing so many press conferences.
This is what she said. This was her response to what's your favorite dish.
Let's hear it.
And your favorite dish. My favorite dish. I like mugs because they're very comfortable in your hand and they hold hot things that you don't have to touch. So, coffee or hot tea.
Can I just say, if any of my nieces or nephews gave that answer, they're going straight to the naughty step. Like, what the hell, man? What the hell?
Why would you think...
why would you think anyone would be drinking tea or coffee out of their hands?
What's your favourite dish?
Well, I didn't even...
Your favourite dish?
Maybe I'm really stupid.
That would have made me think
really
of cups.
Really stupid too. Yeah, no, I never would put cups, like, in the mugs, in, like, the dish category.
Even if you said, oh, I like soup bowls.
Yeah,
more than like plates,
more than plate, exactly.
Cereal bowls.
Yeah,
even that would be really retarded.
Yeah,
it really would.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
But less so.
So go for mugs.
Mugs.
Yeah.
No, that's pretty basic. I mean, I basically have no idea. I'm proud to say I have no idea who Demi Lovato is. And I think I have a feeling she's one of these people that I...
She'll be on a rap tune with a rapper that you used to like at some point soon, I would say.
But these are one of these people, as soon as I hear or see something of them, I... as quick as possible switch off.
But she, for people who don't know, she's a very famous American singer. She was on tour and she would, you know, obviously gave a pretty... she also tried to follow up with this on Twitter by saying it was just a joke.
No. Bless her.
Did she really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
She should have just fessed up, man. First off, you can see in her eyes, like, what? This is a silly question. Yeah. You can see her brain working. And then as she gets into the answer, you can see again in her eyes where she goes, oh my God, I think they mean food, but I'm already in. I'm in.
Yeah.
I've got to finish this.
How old is this girl?
23.
Yeah.
Still, there's no excuse at that age.
And 23
age.
In America.
If someone asked me at 23 what my favorite dish was, I still would have said lasagna.
Do you know what? I know someone that's misunderstood a dish-related question, actually, before. This is when I was quite young, and my family...
Satellite.
Yeah, thank you. We were watching TV, me and my mate. I was staying at his house, and this ad comes on Teague saying, fatigue kills, right? You know the ads with the driving ads? If you're sleepy, pull over, have a rest, because fatigue kills. So he was like, whoa. Fucking hell. He went up to his mum. He was like, what's... because we didn't really understand. We just saw that it kills. And we were like, really heavy ad. There's an accident and shit. So he went up to his mum and he says, what's fatigue? No, he went up to his sister. Sorry, sister Katie. And said, what's fatigue? And she's like, I don't know. Ask mum. And he was like, okay, fair enough. And she goes, and then he went up to mum and goes, so what's fatigue? Like, this is bad. And she's like, steak and kidney pie. And he goes, what? She goes, steak and kidney pie. Nice. So steak and kidney pie comes up. We're like, ain't going near that.
If it's undercooked.
Yeah. We could. I could kill you as well.
Sound advice still.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I think she just misunderstood the question.
You see, this is what happens when you put fame before an education.
That's such an assumption. Demi Lovato.
No.
She might have been a very educated woman who was in a million press conferences and just was feeling exhaustion from all the amazing performances.
But that's also why
I
liked Serena the other day in her press conference, where they're like, why aren't you smiling? Why are you being like this, so lethargic? And she's like, it's 11 p.m. I just played a tennis match. I'm tired. I want to go home. I don't want to listen to your questions.
From what I've seen of Demi Lovato, she's not stupid. She's not one of those people. She just obviously misunderstood this, and it went, you know, too far, and it came out really, really bad. And you know, people do it. And you misunderstand something like that, you can just give it really.
Bless
it's even hard. Like when I moved here, there's quite a few expressions that I'd not heard before when I moved here a year ago. So one of the first people that I had sort of linked up with and gone out for, we went out for a couple of beers and had some food. And at the end of it, bill came to about 23 quid or something like that, and they didn't have any cash. Only had card, and I was like, I got a 20, so they paid, and I was like, just get me next time, it's fine. We're like, sweet. And they sent me a text afterwards going, yeah, it's good to see you, let's link up next time, give me a shout. And I read that going, what the fuck? I just paid for that whole meal and I've got to shout you next time as well. I never hit him back.
Just for the phrase.
You tight ass, what I mean? It wasn't until like quite a few months afterwards I realised, like, give me a shout, was like, holla at you, boy.
Separated by a common language.
Didn't understand.
Yeah, that happens. That happens even within the UK when you go to different areas. You know, I remember the first time I went to Manchester and people were saying things like, sorry if I'm mithering. I didn't know what the hell that meant. Or tip us a wink.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, tip us a wink. You doing a show soon? I was like, yeah. Alright, well, tip us a wink.
Yeah.
Who?
Yeah.
Well, I remember my nieces and nephews, we had some friends from Liverpool. And their kid was like saying, talking about something they did the weekend, and then she was like, I was all made up. And the kids were just like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah.
All made up.
Yeah. See, that makes sense in the States as well. They use that phrase.
Even the word dead.
Well, they don't use it in London.
Kids are a good one. Because my friend, she's got a young kid. And this was like not that long ago, a couple of years ago or something like that. But they had gone past. There was an accident and there was cop cars there and everything like that. And the kid was like, what's going on? And the mum said, when you have an accident, the police come. And they're like, oh, well, that's really bad, right? And the mum said, and if it's your fault, you can go to prison. Like, you got to be careful with accidents.
Damn.
The kid apparently wet their pants. They had an accident. My fault. And was just like too mortified to tell the parents.
Wow.
Just thought she was going to go to jail.
My wife's friend, Rochelle, she came to visit once from Queens, New York. And she'd never been to the UK before. And she made two of these faux pas. The first one was when we were driving her from the airport. And she was like, so, you know, where do you guys live? And Siobhan was like, oh, we live on an estate in Hackney. And she goes, wow, an estate.
yeah, wow.
Okay. Ballet. And we got there, and she was like, oh my God, you live in the projects.
Yeah.
And we went to a party that night. And one of our mates, Dave, who's super Cockney, it's proper East End, introduced her. And she was like, hi, I'm Rochelle. What's your name? And he was like, Dave. Mm-hmm. And she just paused, and she went, hi, Dive. She called him Dive. She's like, such an unusual name.
Dive is an unusual name.
Where are you from?
Oh,
fucking
God.
Here, innit?
She met a guy called Dive in the Projects.
Dive,
yeah, she's probably thinking really, really highly of the UK.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear from you guys as well. If you've, maybe you've misunderstood something, made you sound a little bit dumb. Happened to us. Happened to a lot of people.
Or if you want to talk about a friend.
Or a friend.
In inverted commas.
Yeah, we do like that.
Who made themselves sound like a dick. Let us know.
You can tweet us at FUBAR Radio, or you can email us at shd@FUBARradio.com, and we'll get into all your stories up next. Sarah Hugh and Doc 2.
Oh, man.
FUBAR, here's Drizzy Drake.
Want it back to back. They gonna ask if I can play this shit back to back. I took a break from views, now it's back to that.
Back to back. Drake on FUBAR Radio, Sarah Hugh and Doc 2.
Oh, my
you.
God. Can I just give a massive shout out? I sent a tweet that was a little bit desperate. Because of the lack of suggestions for a rap about anything this week. And I should just shout out Sam at Darley Sam on Twitter, who said, how about a rap about a lack of suggestions? Which is quite good. But then my man Tom Davis is on the show a couple of weeks ago, said cheese sandwiches. James Wood said, he didn't say anything. Oh, Adam Barrett. I don't know who Adam Barrett is. Christina said Great British Bake Off. Tapia Madovi is desperate for me to rap about solar panels. He's
right.
Got 6 exclamation marks after the suggestion. Chris Clark has absolutely killed it with Arctic Tundra or clouds or balloons that look like boobs, Russian agriculture, jock straps, or wet wipes.
God, is that all from one person?
That's from one person,
wow.
Chris Clark.
Greedy.
At Clarky 9.
Greedy.
Andy Hart says Jeremy Corbyn and his hatred of Bourbon. Al Barry, a friend of the show, Al Barry, a good mate of mine, comic says, the lady with the prosthetic penis fooling the lady without one. He's given a link there. I'll read that over the next song, Al, and see what it's worth. Dom says biscuits. I always like to rap about biscuits. Martin Ross says, words that are hard to rhyme. If you have the time. If not, that's fine. Thanks, Martin Ross. There's loads here. Thank you so much. I've got so much to choose from.
They say there's no words tomorrow.
Munners might be in the lead, though. He's just put Morley's.
Ooh.
I do like Morley's.
You do like Morley's.
Yeah.
What is Morley's?
Morley's is like... You remember Wimpy? Remember Wimpy?
I don't eat shit food. That's why I don't know about
Morley's. I eat a lot of shit food.
Now I'm
realizing.
And if you don't know Morley's, then you're a North Londoner. You're a North Londoner born and bred. Because Morley's is only in South London. And it's like Wimpy, but like in South, basically.
It's not like Wimpy, man.
Well, it's not like Wimpy.
By the way, that's the sound.
You know, only related to...
That's fried chicken and ribs.
That's the sound of Lewis Parker, by the way. He's just sort of rolled into the studio. We should tell you that.
Can I just say, Lewis?
Hugh hasn't turned black and high. Lewis Parker is in the studio.
He's in the international grill. Yeah. And it's the UK burgers. It's the best UK burgers.
So Morley's, how would you describe Morley's in a sentence, Lewis? Morley's in a sentence?
They do the cut frankfurter with the egg and the burger.
Oh, I was about to vomit there.
Old school.
Yeah. Wimpy's is mad old school.
I know, Wimpy's is old school.
I always relate it to Morley's because all my family's in South, so I always used to see Morley's.
The tall ice cream drinks. Remember
the Knickerbocker and shit.
Glories, that's the joints, B.
Basically, if you want to kill yourself, eat at Morley's and Wimpy's.
Nah, man, you can't discredit Morley's like that when you haven't eaten there.
You know what I mean? South London, South London, like 95. Yeah, definitely was getting smashed.
Yeah.
It was like Mobb Deep, Morley's.
Can I just say, Lewis, I'm starting to get worried that you're stalking me.
Yeah, why is Lewis here?
You've not been living in New York for like the last few years. You got back like 2 weeks ago, and I'm seeing you like every day. I keep bumping into you. I'm getting worried now.
Well, if you have just joined us, we had a very, very special guest about to join us in the studio that Sarah Love literally just bumped into on the street. So my main man, friend of the show now as well, Mr. Lewis Parker. Welcome back.
And also, Lewis, you were so late turning up when I invited you officially as a guest a few weeks ago that now...
I didn't even feel... I was like, oh, snap, when you said come through, I was like, oh, man, I'm not even on doing this shit today.
No, but I thought it would be lovely as well because the other day when I bumped into you again... at the weekend, I saw you at the Smith & Wesson show
and we did with Jurassic 5 before that.
And, I even forgot that I saw you 2 days before I'm on to you, mate. Honestly, I know how to track you down as well, so you don't want any trouble.
There's only a few of the real hip hop nights that go down. So you know when you're gonna see Edge. You know what I mean?
Jurassic 5 was a really good show. Like, I mean, in terms of like they put on a good, you get your money's worth.
But the tickets was not cheap. Them tickets was like 37. I heard.
Yeah, they know they're marking up.
I don't know about no prices of tickets because that's how I roll.
I know about that, baby.
It's true, I think I saw them
I think just for standing order, you know, standing without even the higher part and whatever, you know what I mean?
Anyway,
paying 30. But the show, the performance was on top, you know what I mean? It definitely was.
Like, you know, they put time into putting the show together, so it's definitely the big
turntable.
Yeah.
When they would do that, that
cutting
was crazy,
with the giant turntable.
Yeah, yeah.
So shouts out to the whole crew.
And shit, you know what I'm saying?
Those guys are really nice people as well. So.
Hey, where did you guys just bump into each other?
No, literally just outside the station. No. Wimpy's. We bumped into each other at Wimpy's. North London. I saw you on Sunday because the Deal Real Massive put on the special show, last minute jugglings with Smith and Wesson, which was kind of amazing.
They're my favorite rap duo of all time, man.
The Shining album.
About that the other day, you know what I'm saying?
Before the show, you mean?
There's like, you know, I was hyped up because everyone was talking about it the whole week. All my friends were talking about it. So, yeah, it was like, yeah, everyone's going.
And you know what was so amazing? We literally put that show together in 7 days.
It was lovely.
Wow. And then the turnout was It felt like I knew about it.
It was strange because it felt like I knew about it for longer, but it was just because as soon as the people heard about it that I knew, everyone was like, oh, you got Smith & Wesson, And yeah, of course I'm going to got that Smith & Wesson. So I was hitting still like, yo. You get G-List B, can I get G-List son? Like, what's good, fam?
And then you were hitting me up for the guest.
Yeah, I was like, hitting you up. I was hitting everyone. I was like, yo, I'm coming. You know what I'm saying?
Like, Lewis, you got to support the team, man.
You know, we brought the home team through. You saw how we did. You know what I mean? We definitely
did. Listen,
it was just
the amount of history that was in that room was just, it could have brought a tear to my eye because what we had Shorty Blitz, you were there, we had Spice. So many people from the original Deal Real days. Yeah, Twang was there, Maestro was there. Oh,
I didn't
God,
even
yeah,
see them.
Dude.
I
My
saw Twang,
Bunny,
I didn't even
Bread,
see,
Thor,
I, yeah, Bread
was DJing for him, Smith and Wesson. I rocked two on the turntables, and then it was just Trish Misbehavior
that
from
was,
New York.
It was so crazy because the last time I saw Trish was Just Blaze's birthday. And I actually saw her, and every time I see Trish, first time I met Trish was actually with Smith and Wesson.
Wow!
And she was DJing it was like an old roller skate place in Brooklyn. I can't remember the name of the place.
I love roller skating still.
But she was DJing the weird thing is I'd never met her in England before that. It was always we had met over there. So she knew I'd come over to New York, and I don't know how we got a linked up, but it was like
she hollered at me and said
come through
the UK people,
you know what I mean?
New York.
Was so crazy because I saw her and I didn't think it was her. I think it's always because I see her with hats,
but
and
also,
she started talking,
she
was like she was opposite me and we both was talking to each other, we'd kind of both
okay
put,
this is a bit out there for the listeners because they don't know who the hell Trish is.
We're gonna grab here, it's not just a grab.
So the show was basically the 20th anniversary of the Shining Smith & Wesson album, which is really considered a major classic of the 90s, and it was also a tribute show for Sean Price. So they did enough of the tunes from the Shining, and then they tried to wrap the show up with this ill classic Bucktown, and we were lucky enough to record the show, so I thought let's treat the peeps some of that flavour. But the energy in the room was just so beautiful, and you will hear a little bit of that.
Right now, here we go. Salute!
That only gives like a little bit of the taste because the energy was insane.
I love you too. Listen. Wow. You're on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Doc 2.
Hey, yo, fucking make some noise!
We got Lewis Parker in the studio as well.
Beautiful.
And that was taken from Saturday night in Brixton.
Sunday night.
No, it was just lovely to hear, like, the crowd's love and energy that was in the place. Like, when they first stepped up on the stage, it
was
literally like,
I was losing my mind.
Saw
me, right?
I was losing my mind. We probably were like, fangirl.
Me and Sarah, yeah, we was rocking it together, like, nearly half the show, most of that shit.
I know.
That was dope.
Yeah, no, it did crack me up when I was like, I'll be right back. And you're like, what?
I'll hold your spot right here. I got you.
Hey,
Lewis Parker, what do you make of this, mate? Well, we have just been chatting about when you misunderstand things. A singer in the States, Demi Lovato, she was given an interview a couple of days ago, and she was asked, what's her favourite dish? And she replied this.
And your favourite dish? My favourite dish? I like mugs because they're very comfortable in your hand and they hold hot things that you don't have to touch. So, coffee or hot tea.
So we're going with the assumption on this one that she just didn't quite understand the question and she came across sounding a little bit dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all you can take from that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
She is a bit dumb and she didn't understand the question.
Yeah, she didn't understand the question.
Be nice. We don't know that. We did ask you guys, when have you misunderstood something and come across sounding a bit dumb? We've had a few people tweet in at Food Bar Radio. Bill and Clapham said, when my friend offered to buy me a bender in a bun, I thought he meant something else and not a sausage in a bun.
He thought you got lucky. You're like, I've been waiting for the opportunity to broach the subject with him.
Oh, God, amazing. And I had another one from Doreen, who doesn't want to say where Doreen is from. Fair enough, because she apparently was asked on the weekend. She's done also, she started the tweet doing Doc's favourite, hey, guys. And she said, I was asked if I wanted some Charlie at the weekend. And I said, I don't like that perfume. I'm 35. I don't do drugs, all right? I promise. Yeah, fair enough.
I don't like that perfume.
No, she thought Charlie was a perfume, apparently.
I'm not convinced by that story.
It is a make a perfume. No. Apparently it is a cheap, horrible perfume.
Oh, yeah?
As well. Yeah.
That's just strange.
What do you think about that, Lewis Parker? Have you had any? You had any times where you just kind of misunderstood?
Yeah,
what was happening?
I'm sure I have. I'm sure we all have. Yeah. I can't really think of any specific moments.
I think it's a daily occurrence.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lewis, you know what I mean? for myself and you.
Yeah.
Shouts out to Mr. Fresh. He was
yeah,
on the show.
I think in life, man, you that often happens on a much larger scale than we even take for granted. When people trying to get things across to you, and you know, they have a lot of things is how someone says to you, people have different intentions. So someone could say something when they're actually meaning the other.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
That's the problem with emails as well. Yeah. And texts. Yeah. Like how
that's
things get misunderstood
I still,
in
yeah,
black and white.
I'd rather speak to people directly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I definitely had situations though with like with certain people who don't non-English speaking people trying to communicate over the internet, you know what I mean? that's and certain absolutely. Big monies have got messed up with literal like you just miscommunicate, you know what I'm saying? Like they did not understand I was asking for this about this, you know what I'm saying? Or saying, well, yeah,
cross
that's
wires.
This. Yeah, it's happened a few times.
Do you know someone who definitely has made people scratch their heads? There's been a few miscommunications with Australia's former Prime Minister. Something pretty big happened to him just yesterday, which we're going to get into next. And just want to give you a little bit of an example of why our Prime Minister in Australia, former Prime Minister, is the king of miscommunication and a complete dickhead. You're on FUBAR. Why you think I'm out here acting crazy? You know I'm still your little baby. You're on FUBAR. They're Action Bronson. They're acting crazy. Sarah Hugh and Doc 2, and we're lucky enough to be joined. We've got Lewis Parker, main man in the studio. Also got another very, very special guest, Beardy Man, one and only absolute legend, man. Beatboxer, multi-instrumentalist, crazy. He's been in the studio setting up some wild stuff, going to be doing some live stuff, and also going to be doing Doc's rap about anything. He's going to be doing the beat
special
for that live in the studio as well. So that's coming up very, very, very soon. Now, I just wanted to jump into this real quick because yesterday was a big day for Australian politics. We had Julia Gillard, our first ever female Prime Minister. She was ousted a couple of years back, and then Kevin Rudd was ousted by Julia Gillard. And then there was another, the Liberals took over from Labor, and Tony Abbott, who is Australia's worst ever Prime Minister, shortest serving Prime Minister, he was ousted again yesterday. So that's five Prime Ministers now in Australia in the last 7 years, 6 years, sorry. So I just wanted to give people a bit of an idea of Tony Abbott, why he was ousted, the type of man that was running the country. You got to check this out. It's ridiculous.
In series, other countries, presidents of the United States. This week's leader, Tony Abbott, Prime Minister of Australia, the island nation famed for its bouncing kangaroos and bloomin' onions. Its current leader, hardline right-wing Prime Minister Tony Abbott, who rose to power promising to be pro-business and religiously anti-immigration. Literally, religiously anti-immigration.
And Jesus knew that there was a place for everything, and it is not necessarily everyone's place to come to Australia.
Exactly. Australia is for real Australians, like Tony Abbott, who was born in London, England. It's that kind of rhetorical consistency that's won him the admiration of his predecessors.
If Tony Abbott ends up the Prime Minister of Australia, I mean, you've got to say, God help us. God help us.
Tributes and song.
Fuck you, Abbott.
And the love of Australia's children.
My mummy calls him Tony Dum Dum because she thinks he is so, dumb.
What is it about Tony Dum Dum that's led to his current approval rating of 30%? Could it be that he's personally insulted everyone else in the country, from women...
The housewives of Australia need to understand as they do the ironing.
...to gays.
Homosexuality. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that?
Oh, I probably feel a bit threatened.
To anyone remotely Irish.
This government's a bit like the Irishman who lost 10 pounds betting on the Grand National and then lost 20 pounds on the action replay.
To elderly, cancer-ridden phone sex workers.
Tony Abbott has been filmed winking during a radio show.
I'm a 67-year-old pensioner, three chronic incurable medical conditions, two life-threatening, and I work on an adult sex line to make ends meet.
To incredibly this.
Tony Abbott has been caught out seemingly insulting a Queensland soldier killed in Afghanistan. After being told about the complications of the firefight, this is Mr. Abbott's reaction.
Sometimes shit does happen. Luckily, Tony Abbott is a master of words and can talk himself out of any situation.
Look, a soldier has died. And you shouldn't be trying to turn this into a subsequent media circus.
How's that turning into a media circus? Okay, well, tell me, what's the context? And if it's out of context, what is the context? You're not saying anything, Tony.
I've given you the response you deserved.
Yes, Tony Abbott knows one panicked, pants-shitting expression is worth a thousand words. And what a way with words Tony Abbott has.
No one, however smart, however well-educated, however experienced, is the suppository of all wisdom.
But if anyone is the suppository of wisdom, surely it's Tony Abbott, a man who always knows exactly what to say or not to say, and who's won exactly as much respect from his constituents as he deserves.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
So amazing. Tony Abbott is gone everywhere around Australia. People were hanging onions on their front door.
What a
because
fucking moron.
He likes to eat raw onions for some very, very, very strange reason.
I remember the last time I was in Melbourne, in fact, when I met you for the first time, Hugh, I remember walking around the streets there and seeing... people wearing a very distinct t-shirt when he was in power.
Yeah,
I remember walking down a very well-to-do street in Melbourne and seeing a lovely young middle-class family in their 30s, you know, two kids, one in a buggy and one walking, and the wife, she looked She looked like one of those women, you know, who'd be, you know, maybe be in the vegan store, very mild-mannered, quiet-spoken. She's wearing a black T-shirt with big white print on it.
Yeah.
I couldn't see what it says until I got close to her. It just said, fuck Tony Abbott, yeah, in massive letters. I was like, is this how they're rolling, yeah? Okay, cool. I'm down.
He's gone. We got a new Prime Minister. He was ousted yesterday, Malcolm Turnbull now. And, yeah, I guess it's probably... different salesman, same product. But there you go, at least Tony's gone.
I know, because I did feel like happy that he had gone, but God knows who what they signed up for, this new guy. It's the same party, so it's basically the same.
What, they've got a party that I like the name of, haven't they? What's it called?
Liberal.
The Liberals.
Yeah, that's so it's called Liberal. It's called Liberal, but all the Abbos really can stay over there in the corner and keep out of sight.
Yeah, it's
I think people like Tony Abbott, I honestly find terrifying. Mm. And what's our idiot called? Cameron. And Trump and Bush, and what's most terrifying is that these people actually get in. Like, what's the kind of stuff that Tony Abbott has done during his time in, you know, that we don't even know about, and the fact that people actually went out and voted for these people. So to me is literally terrifying. So come on, JC.
Hey, we've got Beardy Man's going. He's been setting up. He's going to be joining us up next. So we got big thanks to Lewis Parker for joining us in the studio for the day, man. Very much appreciate that.
Very much so.
Legend.
Just a quick JC update, actually. We've also got from Ducky in Romford, Jackie Collins.
Oh, Jackie Collins.
And John Cusack.
Very good, very good. So, famous JCs.
Yeah, hey? I put John Cusack above Jiminy Cricket.
Really?
Jackie Collins probably just below Jiminy Cricket. Although Joan Collins.
Another one, Joan Collins.
Could be above her sister, I say.
Yeah.
Saw a nude photo of her earlier today.
Wow.
Just saying. #hashtag just saying.
Current nude photo.
I wouldn't mind seeing a current one, but it was from back in the day.
You get down like that?
Wow.
Nothing wrong with getting down a bit of cougarism.
Yeah, no, Helen Mirren.
Down with the cougar.
She's still got it. And Felicity Kendall.
What's kind of sad, though, I was thinking the other day, which I'm sure no one else here is going to relate to, is that it's like, why is the only way we could give these women props is on, yeah, but she's still got it. It's like we hear more about how Helen Mirren still got it than how she killed it as an actress with that performance.
True. But the thing, I think the issue with that, Sarah, Lewis? The only issue is that Helen Mirren is fucking hot. So that, you know, like,
and
I wouldn't say that about Maggie Smith. Maggie Smith still got
Maggie
it in
Thatcher.
Acting terms, and but she's butters.
I think, no, but it's true what my dad says, is that a woman's, what makes a woman attractive is the confidence. And I think that's what you get with
swag.
Helen Mirren.
Yeah,
it's like she's just, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I feel you.
Yeah. but big ups, Lewis. Thanks heaps for coming in, man. Yeah, much appreciated. Beardy Man.
Beauty represents health, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
For real.
Absolutely.
And that's what we love in life.
Oh, but we're celebrating an anniversary, isn't it?
We are. It was a death anniversary, actually.
Death anniversary.
Yeah, Tupac. Which,
yeah. He but
died.
I was definitely interested to hear Lewis's opinion on that. Because I have to, it's probably the most controversial thing you can say.
You're not a Tupac fan.
No, I think Tupac is one of the most overrated rappers of all time.
Wow.
And I'm brave enough to say it.
There you go.
Wow.
All right, let's
jump. He had a really good six pack.
She's down, guys. She's down.
I mean,
trying to get back on the stool now.
It was his death anniversary on Sunday, so we thought we'd play Tupac Jam for you now. And then we'll get our Beardy Man up next on FUBAR, Syracuse.2. Tupac's death anniversary on Sunday. The man right there. Hit him up. You're on FUBAR, Syracuse, and Doc2. And pretty soon, we're going to be jumping into Are You Taking the Piss? You can tweet us what's been getting you vexed this week at FUBAR Radio, or you can email shdsarahhughdoc@fubarradio.com. Let us know, and we'll be jumping into that very, very shortly. We're lucky now to be joined by definitely a legend. We've got Beardy Man, who beatboxer, producer, multi-instrumentalist, bloody just about everything. Mate, welcome to the studio for starters.
Yeah, man.
Oh,
how you doing?
Thanks for having me. How are these levels? Is this good?
Turn my mic off!
We need to get your mic a little louder. We've got it up full. The mic is up full at the moment, but that's all right. Why don't you jump onto that mic there just for a minute, and then
just
we'll
for the chat.
We'll get that one all sorted.
We had a lot of consternation about which mic I should use. This is good. I put my radio voice. Very nice. Deep and
well, you do bring a lot of toys in the studio, so we were just trying to make sure you're comfortable. That's all.
Oh, thanks. I've actually brought way less toys than I usually tour with. Usually I've got like a giant sort of
lot of shit
multi laptop crazy thing that I take around but yeah, I've just got one little box today.
Mate, well, welcome to the studio. It's a real pleasure to have you in, mate. Real pleasure to
It's crazy to see the journey that you've been on through your career. I mean, obviously I've watched it very, very closely because, you know, we are tied together in a strange way. Career-wise,
tied together
now
right
now
in the studio. Yeah,
because I used to host the beatbox championships.
Right.
And there was one year, I think it was at the Forum, perhaps, and there was a beatboxer from round the way that I knew called Faith SFX. So I was, you know, even though I was the host and I'm supposed to be impartial, I was like, I hope Faith wins, you know. And you know, I was bigging him up in every round. And then this clown comes through called Beardy Man.
Yeah.
And literally, even when I announced his name, I think I said it with, like, you know,
a
some disdain.
Yeah.
You know? And there were some chuckles from the crowd. And he came up and he, like, everyone else was just beatboxing, as you do.
Yeah.
And then this motherfucker's doing, like, sound effects, different voices, yeah, like an impressionist. And everybody was stunned. Like, I mean, literally, no one had ever seen anything like it. And I looked at Faith and I just saw it like in his eyes and it, like we both knew like
straight.
The game was up. And there was a new champ. And since then, obviously, you just gone from strength to strength. But I always wonder, because I never really talked to you about it, like, how did it all begin for you? Were you ever like interested in impressionism or like say, who's your man who does stand up now that was also in the Police Academy film,
Michael Winslow.
Were you inspired by him? Was it hip hop from the start, or did that sort of join in with the things that you were already interested in?
Well, I was always like the kid in the back of the class who makes weird noises. There's always one as me, and so like I would kind of pick up anything that I thought could help me to. I never thought of it as a career. Do you know what I mean? It was always just a weird thing that I did at parties sometimes when everyone's standing in a circle smoking. And they're
like a party trick.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I thought that was literally the end of it. And then at uni, when I was about 20, I guess, I got a Razel CD. My mate burst into my room and be like, you've got to listen to this. Yeah. And he played me the last track, which was him doing the beat and the chorus at the same time.
If your mother only knew.
Exactly.
The same time.
Exactly. So then I was like, oh shit, this could be like a job. So, yeah. So I started sort of taking it more seriously then. You know, and I realised that actually my whole life, when I'd been keeping this weird sort of, I thought, habit to myself, actually I'd been sort of in
you
training.
You thought you had a problem.
Yeah, exactly. I thought it was a disease and it was a superpower.
What were some of the noises that you used to do, like, when you were younger?
I had engines and, you know, like a...
like just say, like, you know, the four of us were all standing in a circle and we're all at a party or something like that. What would be some of the noises that you might just randomly come out?
Like, I would 14, 15.
I had this weird, like, routine that I would do where I was like,
amazing.
Mime being like a World War One fighter pilot, and I'd like put on goals like that, and then jump in this biplane and be like this, and then like make the plane crash and shit.
How did that go with girls at parties? How did that go with girls at parties?
Scared them off much of the time, but like, yeah.
Come for driving my car.
No, to be honest, it started like, you know, once I actually sort of started doing it on a stage and turning it from just some stupid party trick into, like, I started to focus on it. Mm-hmm. And I got to the point, like, Faith SFX was an early influence of mine. Because he's amazing.
Yeah, he's
so,
great.
Like, I've never attained his level of skill. Like, so that's the thing. I was always making up for my sort of lack of real sort of detailed beatbox chops with stupid jokes and stuff and sound effects and whatever else. Mm.
So, but yeah. I wonder if that was the thing that really pushed you onto the next level, because I think about Faith and he was like the only kind of hood beatboxer. Like, I'd never met anybody like him who had that kind of street thing, but he could do the beats for a freestyle as well and not spit on anyone. He was like crazily cool with it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, I mean, he's.
But I think you widened it out somehow. Like,
yeah.
I mean, you brought comedy to it first and foremost.
Well, yeah, just
before I was even doing comedy, you had elements of comedy to your shit, which is brave in a world like hip hop where it's very po-faced.
I didn't really have any other option. Do you know what I mean? Because firstly, I've always felt that beatboxing is inherently silly. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, doesn't matter. A grown man doing fart noises for money.
Exactly.
Amazing.
To rock up on a stage, you'd be like, it's not, you can't carry off. So yeah, so I couldn't front. So I just thought, well, I'll sort of clown it, and that seemed to work. And since then, I've sort of gone from there, because I never felt entirely comfortable doing sort of, you know, beatbox battles or whatever. Like, I didn't feel like there was a place for me in hip hop. I thought maybe, well, like, what can I do with this? And actually, you know, my focus has always been electronic music and like, I mean, whatever. Like, I see music as this just vast panoply of options. Mm. It doesn't matter what it is. So, like, I don't discriminate by genre, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, like...
But hip-hop looks up to you, though. You must feel that. Like, you must feel, like, the love that hip-hop has for you.
Well, it's been a huge part of my life. Like, it's not... Mm. It, like, I, there's no one kind of music that I listen to more than any other.
Right.
But it's so... It feels like they're all ingredients. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so it's
like, yeah.
I mean, there would be no beatbox if there wasn't for hip hop. It was like the seventh element.
And I suppose like rap is the one genre of music that has a real DIY aesthetic. It doesn't frown on it in the way that, like, so let's say sometimes if you joined like a rock and roll band, then you're like, what do you play? And you're like, well, I kind of do things with my lips. You're like, oh, right. So you're not a proper musician. Whereas rap doesn't really have that prejudice, I don't think.
I suppose not. I mean, it's like, if you look at Dougie Fresh, who arguably sort of
kind
set
of a
the
godfather,
template.
Yeah.
Like, that was party rocking at its rawest, wasn't it? Mm. It was like, as about as raw as party rocking can get, like him and Slick Rick. But like, I don't know, there was, what, before him, the Fat Boys, and then
Ramazzi,
like,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Very few.
Kenny Mohammed. Yeah, there weren't that many. Now, there's
Bobby
loads
McFerrin.
Of them. Bobby McFerrin. Yeah. Old school.
Meg, you've been kicking it for? Yeah. Where are you from originally?
Stanmore.
Stanmore. So you Stanmore. Are still a London how, postcode.
Can I just say, as
just about
as
still
a
London.
North Wheezy boy, that is how everybody from Stanmore says that where they're from. It's just that monotone.
Reluctance.
Like, Stanmore.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
A little hint of sorry. I was going to say.
I don't know how to make that sound cool.
It's just the end of the Jubilee way. Line. It's the last stop.
Yeah, it's a train
the North
station.
London version of Morden. Do you know what I mean?
It's not that culturally. It's a little bit of a cultural desert.
It's hard to find
the Stanmore Wikipedia page. You're basically on there and big
yeah, just
like
Google Stanmore.
Yeah.
And it's just
famous
you.
People from Stanmore.
But I mean, like, having all that sort of different influence, like you're saying, I mean, when it comes to like the album in 1 hour shows and stuff like that, obviously, you know,
that shit is incredible.
Incredible. So basically it's obviously Beardy Man Control and everything with a big plethora of toys, and then there's MCs and there's cellists, there's bass players, there's all sorts of stuff going on. So when, like, when you kind of put all that stuff together, it kind of like, when you see it on stage, or you know you see videos or whatever, like, it seems like you're an evil genius is at work. Is that, do you think, like, when it comes to things like that, having such a broad spectrum of influence has really, really paid dividends when it comes to stuff like that?
Yeah, like I say, I like to think that, like, the time that I've spent just, you know, looking at whatever on YouTube and stuff, that's research.
I'm playing video games for 12 hours, research.
Yeah.
But, you know, that wealth of influence, like the just the brevity of it, how wide your influences are, I think that's part of the reason you're able to entertain pretty much anybody, which is what is one of the most impressive things about you. Aside from just the actual skill, which none of us have, which is so unique. I like the last time I gigged with Beardy Man, it was maybe like 4 or 5 years ago. It was a long time ago, but it was part of the Proms at the Royal Albert Hall.
Yeah.
They had a 90-piece orchestra, the BBC Philharmonic.
Damn.
And they learnt one of my songs, a comedy song, you know, and I performed with them.
It was the Richard Attenborough bit,
yeah.
It?
And then Darren come on, and he was doing like, he had like a, you know, the loop pedal and stuff, and he was just recreating an orchestra himself in front of a fucking orchestra in front of a crowd who all they do is watch orchestras.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Right.
And they were losing their shit.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
And I did I sort of made up this verse to Pachelbel's Canon.
It was crazy.
Like, dissing them for being posh.
Says the man from Stanmore.
They love
it. Yeah,
but no, just watching that from the side of the stage, you know, it's just like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Unreal.
That's nuts, man.
Unreal.
But this is what keeps you busy most of the time, then, is your mouth skills.
That
Sarah, please. It's quarter past five on a Tuesday.
You filthy buggers.
She does this with every young man that comes in the studio. I'm really sorry.
See, I went
to get
mouth
really gross now.
I was just talking about Jeremy Corbyn earlier.
But is it though? Is it more live than recorded? Like, how do you? Well, like, because it. You must get knackered. Is it just live stuff for you, or do people, are people expecting Beardy Man albums now? I mean, I know you've released stuff, but you know, your impact obviously means the most. It has the most punch live, which must be frustrating to you sometimes because you don't want to be touring your whole life.
Yeah, no. Well, I'm at the moment doing the music for a Netflix show that's coming out, and there's going to be no beatboxing.
You're going to score a show with your mouth?
No, not in my mouth. That would be knackering. That would be really long. That'd be the longest thing of all time.
Yeah.
No, so that's like, you're able to sort of be at home while you're doing that. I've got a kid now.
Oh, that's dope.
Do you
got a kid?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
You're grown up.
A boy, a girl.
He's beautiful. Boy.
When was he born?
He's beatboxing now. He's like one and a half.
They do it naturally.
That is literally what it sounds like.
That's crazy.
It's heavy.
What's your favourite beatbox sound?
Maybe like a record rip. That's quite a fun one.
Do you have a favourite?
Your favourite beatbox sound?
What's yours?
I always like the Dougie Fresh thing that he did inside his cheek.
Like the click like roll.
That shit. I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, that was my favourite sound. Oh, no. Just stole it from me.
I stole your favourite.
Of course,
sorry.
That was Sarah's. Young man.
Hey, Beauty Man, you have brought some toys in. We kind of wanted to play some strategically, so you said even while we were chatting, you could do a couple of things.
I'm not sure people understand what we're talking about when you're talking about your toys.
Yeah. Just remote control. Right,
he's got a fire track. He's going to do the live noise of it. And a teddy bear, he's going to do the live squeak, squeak. No, it's not actually toys. No.
Yeah.
So what have you brought in?
Well, can you hear this? Is this coming through?
No. Sort
of. Is this coming through? One, two, mic check.
It's very low and it's up full here, so.
Turn up the desk and all. Want to get this shit sounding crazy professional.
Tell the sound man to turn the mic up!
Turn it up!
Yeah.
Oh,
there we go.
Yeah,
all right. How's that?
Okay. If the listeners can hear, tweet if you can hear. Tweet why. Yeah. All right, can you hear this?
I think they're hearing.
Oh, no.
I think we're hearing.
This looks like a toy. The thing makes.
What actually is it? What have you actually brought in? Just explain what we're looking at here.
You're looking at the Boss RC505 loop station. It's a thing that comes out. It lets me go.
So that loop, that's nice.
Can you hear that? That sounds fat. Sounds fat, not the
one. I can hear that.
So yeah, it's a looper, not like a pooper scooper. That kind of technology.
So is that the green box or the black box?
This is the black box.
Oh, so what's the green box?
Black box are amazing. Do you remember that? What was that big hit?
Right on time.
No. Yeah, the green box is. It's got all different. I bought it for like £100 in a shop, and it sounds like shit. But it's fun because it's good for doing like Dalek noises and stuff. So check this out. I don't know. Sort of quite effective. Freestyle.
Oh, I think we're going to do that. We're going to get you to make a beat for Doc's rap about anything a bit later.
No,
I don't.
I'll just fade that out there.
Amazing. You're very much looking forward to that.
That's crazy.
You can still tweet in some suggestions at FUBAR Radio using the hashtag rap about anything. Doc's going to pick one. And
I've got so many, but it's just hard to choose this week. Like, there's a lot of great examples. I'll give you some more shout outs for everybody who's given me some ideas. That's dope though, man. I'm still trying to get my head around you scoring a TV show though. I mean, because it would be amazing to score it just with your mouth.
It would be so long. Do you know, I've tried so many times to do stuff entirely with my mouth, and it's really possible. But the trouble is, firstly, it takes ages, and secondly, by the time you've done it and you've worked it enough that it sounds amazing, it doesn't sound like a voice anymore. So there's no fucking point whatsoever.
That's why, like, I remember buying Razel's album, but then at the same time I listened to it, and the only bit that really hit me was the live bit at the end. And then I thought, well, shouldn't this just be a live album? Or actually, shouldn't this just be a DVD? You know, this should just be a DVD of Razel's show, because I don't want to hear tracks where it's got an element of his beatbox in it, but it just sounds like a multi-layer produced track.
But do you find a similar thing where the live experience when you're doing, say, more comedic stuff, Like, do you find it's difficult to translate that to a record?
It's nigh on impossible.
Right.
It's nigh on impossible. You can't bottle stand up in the same way that I don't believe you can bottle beatbox. It's a live event, you know? Mm. So, you know, the most potent elements of stand up that are recorded when it's just totally raw, like someone filmed it on their phone or some shit at the venue, and then you see that on YouTube and you really get a sense of what it was like in that room. But actually, ironically, the big productions where they got the whole film crew in, the theatre's all lit up, that's just not how a stand-up gig is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so it's got to be a bit gritty.
Yeah.
But overall, with beatbox, it's definitely lends itself more to the live forum, because even what you're doing here, like, it's be hard for the listeners to understand that you haven't just pressed play on the CD.
Yeah, I get,
and then sat down.
Also, I'll do like a whole gig sometimes, and then people come up to me and be like, "That was wicked." So you were like, you were DJing, and then you were sort of rapping.
They still don't get it.
That's not. Yeah, but that's fine, because I kind of think, well, so long as they're enjoying it.
Yeah, true.
It doesn't really matter.
Even going back to the album in an hour thing, which is basically like a live improv band, like, just sort of break down how that's been working.
Okay, so this is a thing that I'm taking this on tour. This is a show that I've been doing for a while, and I just did a little run at the Edinburgh Comedy Festival, and I got loads of really good reviews and stuff. So it's good. You should buy tickets and see it. Plug. Mm. But no, it's good. I'm taking it around the UK in October and November. And basically the idea is I make an album every night, like a new album. So the audience, a bit like Doc's like scribbling some lyrics down as we're talking. Like,
big time.
Yeah, but I do it in like real time. So it's not always perfect. It's sometimes a bit rough around the edges, but sometimes I'll just like nail it. There'll just be like two songs in every show that I'm like, that was amazing. Like, and I probably couldn't have done them if I'd have planned them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
So it's with the improv band, with suggestions taken from the...
It's just there's no band. It's no, just
this one
just me.
Just purely by yourself. And this is all taken with suggestions from the crowd, yeah?
Yeah. So they'll make up song titles.
Right.
And then I decide what their suggestion might sound like it would be. Yeah. So if I'm like, oh, that sounds like it's like a lost Oasis track, then I'll get the guitar out and I've got like drum machines and all this kind of stuff. Then I'll just make the song. But if it sounds like it would it's be crazy. Like a hip-hop track... If that's like a lost Nas track, I'll do it as Nas. If it's like a, I don't know, like a Snoop thing, I'll do it as Snoop. It depends what it sounds like it might be. And if it doesn't sound like it is going to be a track, then I'll just sort of put it down with some rebuttal and whatever. Like, right. You know, but so the whole...
So you just have to force fear out of your whole, like, solar plexus. You can't for a second think this isn't going to work. You just have to constantly be thinking, this is going to work.
Well, actually, people write... that it took quite a while to nail the format, because if it... For a while, people were just shouting out in the audience, and that's how we were doing it.
Right.
So it was like, what should I do next? And people are just shouting out, and you can't hear anything, because it's just clamour.
Mm.
So we figured out the best way to do it is to have people write stuff down on pieces of paper beforehand, which is good, because now I start the show reading out the shit ones.
Yeah.
Which is always funny.
It's always fun in that.
Yeah. And it's good laugh.
So your main... output is doing your, it's like a comedy show, live show that you
sort
do
of.
Incorporating with the vocal loops that you're
sort
doing.
Well, I mean, it's funny because it's kind of a ridiculous thing to try and do, but like most of the songs themselves are not like
they're not joke songs.
Yeah, sometimes they are. Depends on the song title. If it's like a stupid title, then I'll do something stupid. But like, and sometimes there'll be stuff in like a serious song that is stupid and it's funny, but like, yeah, more often than not, what I'm trying to do is genuinely seriously trying to make like a really good album. So the songs aren't always funny, but like linking it, you know, it's comedic.
But I mean, rather than it be your show being it's just like a music show, it's like more
it's framed a comedically.
So it's a performance that incorporates music kind of into it.
Yeah, but it gets quite deep sometimes, because people will write things down that are in the news or things that are just quite deep, and do you know what I mean? So you can sort of go in and out of all different emotional modes, and you can sort of comment on current affairs or whatever. I'm making it sound a lot heavier than it is. But
I suppose the beauty part from a performance point of view is that you get to do something different every night.
Yeah, and I never know what I'm going to do.
Most comedians, most musicians, you know, we're all just, you know, doing the same shit every night every night of the tour. Do you know what I mean?
But that comes with its advantages and disadvantages.
Oh, of course.
If you're doing the same thing every night,
you can
grow
confidence, hone it, and make it amazing. By the end, no question.
Are you recording it? Or, like, can people get a copy of the album at the end of the night? Stuff like that.
Well, some of the really good shows I've been putting up. So there's clips up at the moment. There's a whole show about to go up in the next 3 days. So look out for that.
Amazing.
Kids.
And what happens when it goes wrong, man?
Well, that's really funny. So, yeah. So then I win as well. I'm like, that's comedy. Shit was whack. That's funny.
So. Talking about shit we definitely find funny on the show here is giving you a chance to vent for Are You Taking the Piss?
Are You Taking the Piss?
It's just about time to get into that up next. And Beatty Man's going to be sticking around with us. We can find out what's been vexing you this week as well. We'll find out all about your tour dates and not too far away from as well from you and Doc doing Rap About Anything live in the studio right here.
Yeah.
On FUBAR. Here's some Mobb Deep for you. You're on FUBAR, Sarah Hugh and Dr. Mobb Deep Shook Ones, part two there. And we're very lucky to be joined by Beardy Man in the studio.
Good sir.
And we are just about to jump into Are You Taking the Piss, giving you a chance to vent what's been getting you vexed this week. But we've had, you can tweet through as well what's been pissing you off this week. What's been making you say, Are You Taking the Piss?
Yeah,
at FUBAR Radio, you can tweet us or you can hit us up on the email, shdsarahhudoc@fubarradio.com.
Or even call the studio.
We
never get phone calls anymore, do we?
No. I think they just scrapped the phones. You know, budget cuts. You know what I mean?
Let's not give out my personal.
Like he's a liability
on air again.
But we had just been handed a few suggestions as well for before we get into Rap About Anything for Beardy Man.
Oh, really?
He's been given a few suggestions as well. You did shout out before that you know if anybody has any topics for a freestyle, you've got all your equipment set up in here. We should do something.
I suppose you should. How's this volume level? I think we've got. Yeah, how's that? Is that a bit better?
Yeah, sounding good. Yeah, sounding good.
I want everyone to hear every syllable of this genius beautiful, I'm about beautiful. To spit. Oh my god! These are the titles I've got to try and contend with.
All right, what have people tweeted in? Say their name as well and where they're from if it has it there.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. So Adam in Essex wants me to do a track about club biscuits, as in if you like a lot of chocolate on your biscuit, join our club biscuits. Actually, my mate's dad wrote that tune.
Really?
Yeah. So that's
you know that is like the absolute benchmark in how to find out like if you've got a crowd of people that you want to entertain. And you don't know if some of your references are going to be like over their head or under their head, depending on their age. That is the benchmark of finding out how old everyone is.
Yeah,
you just sing the first half,
and then see who finishes. Loads of people.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Yeah. I won't do that one. Lest the under 30s are like, what's he talking about?
What the?
It's an old chocolate. You don't need to know.
Delicious chocolate.
Harry in Tooting wants me to do a track about the cheeky girls on a blind date with the Chuckle Brothers, which again, we're isolating the listenership of this radio.
Come on, anything for the kids.
That suggestion sounds is that terrifying.
We've been talking about old shit Harrow, the whole time we've been on air.
Yeah, pretty much. I think we must have been,
just three old codgers banging on about the 90s rap for the whole of 2015. That's what you get.
Two pack.
Mel in Borehamwood wants me to do either a track about squirting a can of cream in my mouth, or maybe she just wants that.
Maybe that's just
what she wants to happen. Either way, Emma in the woods. Emma in the woods.
She's got reception in the woods.
That sounds like a kid's book.
Doesn't it?
Wants me to do a track called Venus Flytraps. I don't want to do any of them.
I'll have to do one.
Which one shall I do, guys? What's going on?
I think Venus.
None of them. They're all rubbish. That's what you want to say.
Venus Flytraps
really,
has got some. It's got some. I think it's got something.
Some
in
bite
it.
To it.
That's nice. That's very good.
Thank you. Oh, thank
that's
you.
Very good.
And I'm not the comedian.
That's a sound effect.
Squirting
though,
cream in your own mouth. She just wants to hear you do the sound of that. Is that what she wants?
Oh. All right.
Make the lady's day. Come on.
Here we go. All right. And now Venus Flytraps.
Nice.
That's
nice.
It.
Simple.
Right, and I suppose I should, you know. That's like a weirdly industrial rhythm. I don't know. So, some of these song titles are crap. Don't want to do a song about no Venus flying traps. You know, I'm the kind of guy who doesn't like to do songs about trapping flies. Don't want to be stopping this. Don't know nothing about Venus flytraps. I'm not a botanist. On to the next one. Squirting a can of cream in my mouth, not on my bum. Or maybe Mel and Boreham Wood would like that. Maybe she wants me to squirt some cream on her twat. That was rude. Don't say shit like that, dude. That kind of stuff is very sexist, actually. So I'd like you to rephrase that. That's the shit. Yeah, let me tell you. All I want to do is be like Adrian Belew. Yeah, another old school reference from the 80s. You don't do that shit, but I'm old, so don't hate me. So yeah, yeah, yeah. That's it.
Apparently, we do have more. We have more. Apparently, we have more suggestions. Do you want to do more?
No,
do you want to do more?
Here comes producer now.
Beanie Man live in the Fubar Studios. That's crazy.
That's legendary.
Crazy.
Oh, man.
We got more.
We got more.
You can tweet more. You can tweet more through at Fubar Radio if you got any suggestions.
Should we go to a real song first, or do you want me to do them right now?
Up to you, man.
If you're ready, you want to take a break. We'll take a break and come back.
Take a break.
Yeah, quick one. All right, we'll go to some more Smith and Wesson. We've got another track here. Sarah Love Sound Boy. Yeah?
Sorry?
Yeah. Nice. You're on food, guys.
Can I cross the border? Call we a clown, man. Take a look, go take a look in a scavenger lyric book, cause every page full of style and full of...
Smith & Wesson on FUBAR. You with Sarah Hugh and Doc 2. And we're lucky enough, we got Beardy Man joining us live in the studio right now. We've had a few more tweets come through as well for suggestions for freestyle noises and raps as well. You're tweeting at FUBAR Radio. What other suggestions have we had, Beardy Man?
Well, we've got some good ones now. People are starting to get this. This is good. We got
all respect to the previous people.
Yeah,
no offense. But now I've actually got some good ones to work with.
You went out of their way to tweet through at FUBAR Radio and got shut down straight away.
we got Ted in London says, "I'd love Billy to freestyle on wrestling, Hulkster, Rock, or Austin." All right, I take that back. What are you talking about? again, you're talking about old wrestlers now. This is like the ones that only...
What about Rowdy Roddy Piper?
What about Rowdy Roddy Piper? Literally, I don't know who that is.
Oh, yeah, he was the man.
He sounds great.
They Live. Go out and watch that film, They Live. Anyone listening, just go and watch that film. It's the bomb.
Recommendation.
Yep. With the illest fight scene in it, sorry.
Oh, wicked. No, got to love fight scenes.
Violence is great.
Yeah, yay, violence, yay. Here's Pete London says, "Here's a freestyle idea for you. Sunday's lunch, everyone loves their meat, roasties, vegetables, grapes." Do you know what? Neither of those are good. The only one that I actually liked that sort of made me favourable towards this round was this one. "Would love to hear Beanie Man drop a freestyle on Jeremy Corbyn."
Like, hey, JC. And JC's a strict vegetarian.
Is that right?
Yes. It just gets better and better.
And he was our big up today as well. Yes. Yeah.
Doesn't even hurt animals.
Aye. Unfortunately, he's married.
It's crazy, though. They're so delicious. Why not hurt animals? They're delicious.
He doesn't eat them, but he does drink them.
I would, Jeremy Corbyn. He's incredibly sexy.
I totally would.
You could be mistaken for a young Corbyn. Actually,
he is my dad.
He
is. That's true. That's a true fact.
JC.
All right. I think I should maybe drop a.
Here we go. Beardy Man live in the studio with suggestions from you.
That, by the way, is the sound inside David Cameron's heart. That's what it sounds like. All right, no, Cameron's. Check it out. Yeah. Yeah, I messed up that first loop. That loop was poop. I'll do a new one. Check it. "There's something that I can't be ignoring, and that's a man called Jeremy Corbyn. He's a very nice man. He's got a nice beard and a very nice plan. I think his things are nice and crunchy. Nice plans I can get my teeth into for the country. I think he is not a... Can't say that word on the radio. It rhymes with country, but I can't say it. If I got a rhyme, I'm just gonna try and play it the way that it's been played by David Cameron is wrong. Cameron wrong, he's a wrong. And David Cameron wrong, and that's what we should call him. He's a nasty, nasty piece of work. Oh, all he wants to do is smear the Corbyn. I think that he is a fucking jerk. That is an understatement of the century.
understatement. I wanna get my placement further over to the left, 'cause then you can be bereft if you are leaving Tories behind. Yes, you should do that, you should do that. Yeah, leave them in the gutter, 'cause they have not got shit to say. I want to see them splatter and say, that's not what I was expecting. Yeah, move to the left, say come correct, kid. It's the right thing to do to care for your brothers and sisters. Yo, where is all the love? I said I missed it. Where the love is gone. Ooh, where the love is gone. It's gone to somewhere called Corbyn camp. They used to call it Labour, but now they are saying he's JC, he is a saviour. JC, not Jesus Christ, it's quite nice. Everybody wants to get him, those who eat bland, those eat spice. It does not matter where you're from, 'cause he's okay. Want to get with his plan just in 2 days. I'm not saying he's untouchable, not saying he's a saint, but David Cameron, he ain't. Yeah! Jeremy Corbyn, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Amazing.
That's what I'm saying. Oh yeah.
Amazing. Beanie Man live in the studio. Suggestions of incredible. Jeremy Corbyn taken from you, tweeted at Fubar Radio. Bro, yes.
That's too much, man. That's crazy.
As they say, bro.
Yeah, bruh. All right, now
that's how we say bruh and Stanmore.
I was gonna say.
Well, bruh.
All right. We gotta jump straight into.
Are you taking the piss?
All right, here we go. Are you taking the piss? Each week, we give you an opportunity to vent what's been getting you vexed this week. Tweet us at Fubar Radio and let us know what's being. Doc Brown, man, we've already had a ton come through.
Thank you for all your emails so far, and a big shout out to everybody who came through late on with the rap about anything, and you'll be happy to know I've chosen my subject, so we'll be coming up with that live with Beardy Man at 5 to 6 in the meantime.
But Beardy Man did have an Are You Taking the Piss?
Oh yeah, he had one of his own.
Which
maybe
normally we do
that.
Ask the guest if they have something this week.
What's been taking the piss out of your life, Bids?
Well, I don't get vexed easily, but the smear campaign that was put out by the...
Why don't you come on this mic?
Yeah, come
on.
Yeah.
Professionalism.
Fidelity. No, I don't get easily vexed. I'm a positive person, but I don't like smear campaigns by the Tories trying to claim that Jeremy Corbyn is a terrorist. He's a terrorist.
Wow.
He's the same as Osama bin Laden. It's the same
it's
thing.
He's worse.
It's unbelievable.
No, they are terrified.
Unbelievable.
They are terrified. And they said he is a threat to public security, national security. And your family.
That quote came out on the exact same day that the Tory government were in the process of organising another arms fair. We were selling arms to people fucking bombing children and all sorts, man.
And my take, Are You Taking the Piss, is actually Cameron. Also,
Cameron,
which he announced that, and they picked a week where they knew it wouldn't get much profile in the news, but they announced that they executed, murdered, two British nationals in Syria with a drone attack, an armed drone attack, which Parliament has voted against the UK being allowed to do arming drones, but they just went ahead and did this, and they murdered these two kids in July, and they just let us know just on the busiest week when people were most hype about Cameron, so it's gone well underplayed. But are you taking the piss, you motherfucking coward?
Are you taking the piss?
Mine's finally.
If you
want to
kill someone, look in their eyes and juke them up.
Whoa! Are you not?
Mine's
not huge. Mine's not quite as deep as that. Mine is.
Is that our advice? If you want to kill someone, look them in the eyes as you do it.
No, but seriously, get some balls or fall back.
Get some balls and do a proper murder.
Yeah. Or don't be about that lifestyle.
Oh my god.
He is a threat. He is the threat to fucking national
DJ
security.
Yeah. Well, my are you taking the piss is I said to my flatmate, it's your turn to get toilet paper, and she was like, okay, this is just as deep as Sarah's. Out of spite, I'm not sure if it was completely out of spite or I don't know what, but she ordered from somewhere online over 260 rolls of toilet paper. It came on a pellet. It came on an actual pellet that turned up at the house today, and she was like, well, you're the only one home. annoying, mate. You have to fucking deal with it. Amazing. Where am I supposed to put 280 something?
Are you taking the piss?
Costco. I like that. That's that Costco lifestyle.
Oh, God.
She's all about that Costco
Baz is
lifestyle.
Here. Baz is here, and he wants to get into these emails.
Yeah, let's do it.
Doing this 10 to 6, we probably should.
We do. We? Let's jump into hearing from you. Tweeted at Fubar Radio or emailed shd at fubarradio.com.
Lydia in Kensal Rise says, I was on a tube this morning. I didn't notice. I had my dress tucked into my tights. I was showing too much bum bum.
Are you taking the piss?
Do you say to a lady when that happens?
Yes.
I've definitely seen that many times during my life.
Yeah.
And sometimes I feel weird about saying it because I'm a man.
No, you go and ask her for her number. You're like, hey.
Hey.
You look like you're up for a good time.
Is that a little statement for me? Mickey from down on the farm says, hey fam, I called my mate Tim for about 6 months. His name is Tom. I blame him for not telling me. He never lets me forget it though. 6 months.
Are you taking the piss?
Jesus.
It's one of those ones, like, you know when you forget someone's name and it goes so far you kind of can't ask.
That's happened to me.
If he was really polite, he would have just changed his name. Would have just changed his name.
But he said that was his friend. It's not even like an acquaintance or someone he works with.
It's like he knew his name and he forgot it.
He's like spending time.
Kerry in Essex says, I was on the tube and some man was looking at me and saying something. I kept saying, sorry, sorry, as I could not hear him. He then said, sorry, I'm talking to my wife, and his wife was standing behind me. I was fucking mortified.
Are you taking a piss?
No, that reminds me of, like, when I'm in the street, if you see someone in the street, like, waving to their friend, you just start waving back at them. They're like, what?
Tess in Salisbury has got some serious first world problems going on. She just says, yo! My local Tesco's run out of fucking Merlot. I need to get my Tuesday night Merlot groove on.
Corbin's
I ain't going fucking Waitrose.
That's what Tess is talking
about. I think that was the wrong accent. I think that was the wrong accent, man. It's going to be like,
my local Waitrose run out of bloody Merlot.
They're out of port.
Unfortunately, Baz, our email reader, just reads it in the same voice every week, no matter who it is.
Yeah. He doesn't discriminate.
Unless it's Larry in Catford, who's a very special emailer who gets his own voice.
I hope there is a Larry in Catford.
There is a Larry in Catford snuck in the middle here.
Save it. Oh my God, I need to build up.
Hi, you all here. So glad. It rained hard on my head today. Too sad now.
That's from Larry in Catford.
Larry, you missed out last week, Doc. Larry in Catford was making
Nat was emailing me. I was on the road and Nat was sending me emails telling me what Larry was saying. Then it got a bit weird. He wanted to wipe my bum or something. I was like, all right, Larry.
He wants to wipe your bum.
Larry has the hots for you, Doc.
I do love Larry, though.
And he said Hugh is a close second.
I'll take
it. I love Larry like I love Lamp. Peggy and Chiggers. Peggy and Chiggers says, hello! I ordered a chicken sandwich for lunch. I've got to put fucking mayonnaise on it. Mayonnaise is the work of the devil. I'm telling you now. It's ruining my whole fucking week.
Are you taking the piss?
Do you want to hear a really bad mayonnaise chicken burger story? All right, this is apparently, you probably shouldn't say who it is just in case, but it was KFC. All right, somebody apparently got a chicken burger once. I was like, I didn't order mayonnaise. They took it back, and apparently it was a cyst on the chicken.
No, but what actually takes the piss out of that story is that anyone is surprised by that. Like, that's standardly what you're eating at KFC.
Not always.
Sometimes
it's just great chicken and the captain's secret recipe.
The coating's so good. I'd eat a cyst.
It's all protein.
Tex is in the pub. Says, Tutu! It's quite jaunty, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Tutu! I've only just noticed I'm wearing odd socks and my pants are on backwards. I really need to fix this as I'm getting balls chafe.
Are you taking the
Thanks, Tex.
Hey, I got another one actually, because I've got the bank closed down. I have two bank accounts. They closed down one of my accounts just for absolutely no reason. Boulder. I got two in this particular bank. On the other banks, I have other ones. But that's taking the piss, right? They didn't emails, no notification,
they just
no
shut
call.
It down.
They literally just shut down one account.
When was the last time you put any money into?
Well, it was an Australian account, so it was a little while, 6 months ago or something. But yeah, it had just been. But
they probably listened to Fubar. I think. Hold on, it's in fucking London.
He's in London.
Are you taking the piss?
I closed down my shit.
I think you were both taking a piss out of each other.
Yeah, we were. I just wanted to see who followed first.
Finally, we got Telly in Dunkin' Donuts who says, oi! I put my fucking washing out today. What a waste of all of our time.
Are you taking the piss?
I didn't tell you. Your washing getting wet didn't bother me, although I did exactly the same thing today. So we're both taking the piss out of our own lives. This is from a man or a woman who describes themselves name-wise as saucy in your face.
Oh, so there's a lot of that happening, a lot of sexual overtones today, isn't there?
I you know what, I know exactly where saucy in your face is coming
from.
Everyone's
on their JC buzz, man. Yeah. Everyone's just buzzing.
Feel weird downstairs. Like, my pants Viagra. Are all tight and shit.
Saucy in your face says something I actually really fucking agree with. She or he says, I'll face you an Easter egg. Why is the calendar against me? I can't fucking have one. Fuck autumn and fuck Christmas. Drop the fuck on.
That's how I feel about pancake day.
chocolate Easter eggs, they're a bit like crisps in a bowl, aren't they? It's chocolate tastes so much better as an egg. And crisps taste so much better in a bowl. Well, like, I wouldn't eat a dairy milk at any time of year. But give me a dairy milk Easter egg. Oh,
that does make sense, because my 39-year-old flatmate, Matt, not to really single him out, but that's exactly who he is. I went to the shop the other day and he said, can you get me a Kinder Surprise? I was like, what the fuck?
Wow.
I thought it was really weird.
Why
but maybe
would you
get
that as a grown man?
Maybe it was just egg-related chocolate does taste better. Hey, and we've got time for one more.
I think, yes.
And then we have to jump into rap about it.
Well, actually, I should do two, because one's just a great compliment. Right. Kerry and Cobbin says, why the hell is this show ending at 6 and not 7? Are you taking the piss?
Are you taking
the best
piss?
Show ever.
Oh,
we didn't write that ourselves, guys. That's actually Kerry and Cobbin. Look her up. Or him. As always, we end on Larry from Catford.
Yes!
Who just says, where sounds come from? he says, where sounds come from? Man's beard.
Oh.
He's so philosophical, Larry.
He is amazing.
He makes you love him, doesn't he?
He's amazing.
Right, so we've only a couple minutes left. So I should shout out everybody while Beardy Man's setting up the beat for this rap about anything. Everybody who's sent in some suggestions. I've had 4 or 5 Jeremy Corbyns. Thank you for that. We're not going to do that. Beardy's done that already. Al Barry, shout out Dom. Shout out Martin Ross. Shout out, oh my god, Chris Peary. Minxley Boy. Oh my days, everybody. Jamie Burns, Phil Davenport, so many of you. Nattington have been in touch today. Thank you, everybody. If I didn't shout you out, I'll shout you out next week. The winner, if you can call it that, this week is Martin Ross at MartinRoss44 on Twitter, who suggested that I rap about words that are hard to rhyme, which sounded like a challenge, Martin. I've gone for it. So let's have a look here. What's Beardy Man got? Let me get my headphones on. Oh, nice. Nice pace.
Here we go.
Foobs. Let's do it. Yeah. Beardy Man on the beat. Dot B on the rhymes. It's how we do. I can rap about anything. It's party time. Martin Ross wants some words that are hard to rhyme, but I just don't believe they exist. At least not to me, cause I'm just too sick. Nope, I don't have a problem with orange, cause you could peel an orange in college when you're in Norwich, yeah. Or eat some porridge in West Bromwich and finish it all off with a Cumberland sausage. Some people say your tricky one is purple, but I can run a circle around a turtle called Myrtle and hurtle across a kick and snare like what? With Beardy Man providing the drums like a boss. Keep the words coming in, man. I feel you, but I'll kill you if you try and suggest silver. Or I might punch you in the esophagus if you say it's impossible to rhyme with rhinoceros. And I don't believe there is a schism. I'll rhyme anti-disestablishmentarianism. I'm the dude who rap with swag and this is that precocious. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, you know this! Yeah!
Amazing!
Ah, that's legendary.
Right, wow.
Yeah, check that out on the YouTube page, the Food Bar YouTube page. I don't even know what the address is for that shit, but you can Google it.
It's just foodbarradio.com.
There you go, probably something like that. Yeah, and get to the website.
You can also catch all of our old shows there as well.
Yeah,
of
course, download the podcast. There's so many classics.
So many. And Lewis Parker, who joined us earlier in the show today, he came in for
he
full interview.
He slipped in the same way he slipped away. I didn't really notice either time.
But big ups to Beardy Man for joining us.
Yeah, amazing. He brought so much to the show.
Been a good laugh. That's been wicked.
Mate, we've got about 40
Evs.
Evs. Hashtag for Evs. Hey, we've got about 40 seconds left. Why don't we plug your shows?
Yeah,
and
when you
find
next?
Out all your stuff.
Oh, yeah. Find me on the internet and then you can buy tickets to my tour. It's wow. in October and November. How specific is that?
Yeah. He is not his own PR guy.
No, he's not. He does everything
else.
He's
pure artist.
Yeah. Beardyman.co.uk. Go there.
Get there. Yeah. Get there.
And definitely come out to Trapeze this Thursday. It's going to be super live, funky, fresh in Shoreditch as well.
Yes, and that's for right. the first time in 25 years, we can happily say vote Labour. Goodbye, Blaine. We love you. We love you.
Go to the website foodbarradio.com. You'll catch all of the action there of all our past shows. And we will see you next Tuesday. Later.
Peace.